Well, amen. Take God's word this morning. Open to the book of Proverbs chapter 30 today. Proverbs 30, we've been looking at pictured truth from the wise author of this 30th chapter of Proverbs, giving us pictured truth for perverted times. As we've said before, it is almost as if we've walked through Proverbs. When you read it, there is principle upon principle, all the precepts a man would need to live a life of wisdom before God, learning as he describes in the first chapter, learning all the pitfalls of life. He exposes the things that are destroying others. Isn't it amazing when you look at what's destroying individual lives, what's destroying marriages, what's destroying parents, what's destroying families, what's destroying churches? Listen, it's not as if these are mysteries. It's not as if we are unaware of what causes trouble. The sad part is we know the problems, but few find the answers. Proverbs is given so you can have answers, so you don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes you've made in times past, and you don't have to keep repeating the same failures of the people and the foolish and the perverted all around us. And so he comes as you're wrapping up Proverbs chapter 30 and then 31. Both of these kind of have a summary feel to them. And here the writer gives us some explicit picture truths, explaining us some things about a generation absent of truth and then a group of people who find truth. Now, we've been looking at some different groups of people that he's described. Verse 15 through 17, he describes a covetous people. He defines a generation that does not have truth. They're walking in ignorance and away from the principles of the Word of God, and so it leaves them covetous and unsatisfied. He gives us four pictures of unsatisfied things. Verse 18 through 20, he deals with a calloused people, a cold-hearted. Jesus taught where iniquity bounds, the love of many shall grow cold. And he deals with four things hard to understand. Then we dealt with, a couple of weeks ago, a contemptuous people. Four things, he says, that are unsettling, verse 21 through 23. They're hard to bear. They're repugnant. They're hard to put up with. These type of people, we dealt with those four things. Those type of people are hard to put up with. The world is grieved because of people who walk in such foolishness. This morning, I want to look, as we begin to flip away from those pictures of those without truth, and he begins to give us some semblance of understanding of what is given to those who know wisdom. Verse 24 through 28. He says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. We ask the blessings of the Holy Spirit of God to the reading of His Word to our hearts today. I want to share with you from these four truths, these four illustrations of one particular group of people, and that is what I call a converted people. Four unstrained things. The emphasis before he illustrates these things by these animals is this. These things are small, he says, yet they are exceedingly wise. He points to the fragileness, the weakness that characterize each of these things, and yet through wisdom they prevail. In wisdom they thrive. That's really the theme of the whole book. The whole book of Proverbs is not telling the strong how to get stronger. It's speaking to people who are weak and sinful and fragile and easily deceived. He speaks to a weak people and tells us how through truth we can be made strong. How that wisdom and knowledge is power. And my friend, ignorance is not bliss. It'll ruin your life. Amen. But truth will set you free. That's the emphasis. He says these come along out of these. They wade through the covetousness. They wade through the contempt. They wade through and they come across the treasure, as the Bible describes in Proverbs. The truth is a treasure unto us. And so he gives us these four things that are weak. You know, when the Bible depicts his people, even the New Testament, Jesus chose weak things to depict us, always in contrast to the strong. He would say, I've called you, you are to be, you're to be like doves. He calls us sheep in the midst of wolves. We kind of wish, Lord, I wish I could be the wolf. Why we always got to be the sheep? Why do we always have to be the prey? Why do we always have to be the weak? Because God, my friend, is just dealing with a reality. He ain't out to compliment us. He ain't out to flatter us. He's out to tell us how weak and fragile we are without him. Amen. But with him, if you'll just listen, if you'll just listen. Have you ever heard that in your life? My mama said that a million times. Boy, if you would just listen to me. And God's trying to teach you, if you just listen to wisdom, wisdom will save your family. Amen. Wisdom will save your soul. Wisdom will save you a whole bucoodle of money. Amen. It'll save you a whole lot of trouble in your life. And so he lays before us these four simple illustrations of things that are small, yet they have strength in wisdom. Wisdom is on their side. Knowledge is on their side. And so he lays out these things that are underestimated. These four things have, as characteristics, they are underestimated. In fact, that's what's so strange. It's like, how could something so weak thrive? And he teaches they are underestimated. He begins with the ant. Just a couple of times as the scripture point out the ants and use them to illustrate to us truths, but my friend, we dare not miss them. He shares with us the underestimation of the supply by using the ants. See, there's something about a converted people. There's something about God's people where we have an underestimated supply about us. I'm telling you, it's mysterious. And God uses the ant to describe it. Look what he says in verse number 24. Verse 25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. He said, you find ants, they're weak, they're small. In reality, listen, they are weak by man's standards, but in reality, ants have a marvelous, mysterious strength. It is said that an ant can lift between 3,400 and 5,000 times its body weight. For an average man, 180 pounds, that means we could carry around between 600 and 800,000 pounds. So an ant that's so small, yet comparatively they have this incredible strength that is almost mysterious. But it's not the strength, the physical strength that he's alluding to, but the wisdom that they have. And he says it's the fact that they have enough wisdom to prepare in the summer for the thinner times that will come in the winter. They have enough sense. They didn't have to go to school for it. They didn't have to learn it through evolution. My friend, God put it in their instincts to know that you got to prepare in the fruitful times for the times that are thinner. He says where everything else comes and men foolishly find our own weakness and subject them to our own foolishness. Isn't it amazing how much hurt is in this nation because people cannot learn the simple truths that you have to store up? You can't live every day like, man, it's just always going to be great. It's always going to be up. Sickness is never going to come my way. I'm never going to have physical problems. I'm never going to lose my job. I'm never going to have financial trouble. And it's unbelievable how people live every single day like we're always going to be up. And then when the famine comes and when the trouble comes, people are wandering around in despair from their weakness. The ants are wise. In fact, listen to what he says in Proverbs chapter 6, the second time where he used the ants to illustrate this to us. Proverbs chapter number 6. Boy, this is a good word for our day. Proverbs 6 verse 6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Sluggardy, just talking to the lazy. Consider her ways and be what? Wise. Learn from the ant, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her fruit in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? And when will you arise out of your sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall your poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He says, you better learn some wisdom. Learn the wisdom that the ants show us. That though weak and fragile, they know how to, through wisdom, provide in the abundant times to provide for the lean time. See, Joseph taught us that when Joseph, through revelation of Almighty God, as he would relay to Pharaoh, there's coming 7 years of blessing followed by 7 years of famine. And if you want to survive the famine, you better prepare during the time of abundance. Simple principles. These animals teach us to thrive. See, here it all really goes back to the simple law of sowing and reaping. God says, you want to reap? Well, here's what you got to do. You got to sow. You want to meet something later in life? You want to reap something later in the years? Then make sure you're sowing today in preparation for tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. You know what God says? Honor me first in your what I give to you. Whatever I give to you, honor me and be back with the first and with the best. But you know what? Oh, half the church, y'all are wiser than God. You done outsmarted God. Oh, God, no, I found out if I keep all of it, God, and I don't give you the first fruits, that I got more. And God says, oh, really? Turn to Malachi and find out how they dealt with it. When he says, and then even in Haggai, well, you're putting money into pockets with holes. You ever wonder where all that money goes? And God says, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be when you don't honor me. People think they're smarter than God. He says, but when you sow to the Lord first, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. When you honor God, my friend, God will be honored towards you. And then times when you throw it up and you're in desperate need and the world has nowhere to go. And my friend, you've been honoring God. Listen, God has given you promise after promise after promise through the Word of God to show up and give back to you where you have given to Him. Even when you're given to helping somebody charitably, God says, when you give it to the poor, you're only lending to them. The poor ain't going to pay you back. The poor's maker. I'm going to pay you back. That's how the wisdom of the ant, God teaches us. Proverbs 10, verse 4, he says, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. You lazy, my friend, is going to lead to poverty. But the hand of the diligent, it will make rich. He that gathers in summer is a wise son. But he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. It's unbelievable how often in our country we're promoting laziness. Amen. We're promoting that somehow others owe you something that you did not earn. Every politician is keeping his seat somewhere because he's promising somebody pie in the sky that somebody else owes you. My friend, God says, here's how you get it. You get out and work. You get out and minister and to serve. We're going to talk about being useful tonight in Philemon. But you get out and you stay with it. And you don't trust what man can do for you. You trust the prosperity of God on your life. You know what you call that? You call that a man or woman of faith who's not looking at a system or an employer. You're looking at Almighty God to sign your check every week and to provide for your needs. Because, my friend, there's a whole lot of people with more wealth than they can count, but, my friend, there's some needs that come along that money can't take care of. He says, look at the ant. The ant will teach you about the security of God. It'll teach you that, listen, if you want to reap, listen, I'm saying if you've been doing some bad sowing in your life and you've been making some bad choices and you're already reaping some difficult times, you say, how can I ever have my life change? Here's what you do. Today you start sowing different for tomorrow. You start making decisions today, investing your time in the Word, investing your time in prayer, investing your time charitably, investing your time in growing as a disciple. And what you sow in your marriage today, listen, you may not see it change. And by the way, sometimes things get worse before they get better. Amen. That's just a fact of life. Sometimes that's just a test of faith, whether you're really trusting God or whether you're still just trusting that God is like a little genie in a bottle you rub and he pops out and gives you three wishes. That ain't how he works. Amen. He ain't interested in doing tricks. He's interested in having your faith and your heart and your trust. You start sowing today, and here's what the Bible says. If you'll sow and you not get weary, Galatians 6, 9 says, in due season, you know when due season ends? When God gets ready. In due season, you will reap. We will reap if we do not give up. I'm living today on blessings, my friend. I'm living on blessings today of seed I sowed 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, last month, yesterday. I'm feasting on God's provision today because of what was sown at an earlier time. So go to the end. He says, learn the wisdom of preparing in times of abundance for times that will become lean, physically, financially, spiritually. Learn from the ants, supply. The second thing he teaches us is the people of wisdom not only are blessed with an underestimated supply, but also with an underestimated security. Look what he says in verse number 26. The conies are but a feeble folk. I like when he talks like we talk. They're just a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rock. Now these conies, we don't have an animal that we know around here we refer to as conies, but particular to this area in Africa and so forth, there is what is referred as what believes to be these conies are a rock badger or a rock rabbit. And they're just a small animal. They look like a small rodent. And they're feeble. They are easy prey for a bird or for large lizards or whatever as their easy prey. In fact, he refers to them, they're as feeble. They're like a little gerbil. That's what they look like. Yeah, and they don't have claws where they dig down and burrow down in the ground. Rather, they got soft rubber feet and they can climb like unbelievable. They climb up these rock cliffs and they build their houses way up in the rock cliffs. So think about this. They're feeble and they know it. They're not feeble and stand around eyeballing an eagle in the sky and say, bring it on. No, that's foolish. They don't walk around on the land and dare something to come try them. No, my friend, listen, they're not only feeble, but they know they're feeble. But don't underestimate them because they may be weak in stature and weak in physical ability. But my friend, listen, they know where to find security. And they climb up, my friend, those rocks and they hide where no one... They flourish in great family groups because they make their houses in these high-level places in rocks where very few things can get to them. See, it's one thing to be weak. It's another thing to know you're weak. You know the problem why so many people continue to fall? And listen, the Bible tells us Satan's like a roaring lion. He's always lurking about seeking whom he may devour. And you know why so many people fall to him on a regular basis? Because you think you're something. You think you can take him. You think you can deal with life, bring it on, whatever. I can deal with it. I was raised this way and I can deal with my own troubles. And I want to tell you, my friend, your worst place in life is recognition of your own strength. Your greatest strength in life is recognition of your own weakness. Amen. I hear people all the time, these guys, many times at the prison, they'll say, yeah, I've been telling the devil this, I've been telling the devil that. I said, don't talk to him. Amen. All these preachers on TV always talking, don't talk to the devil. My friend, what in the world? Last time, listen, first time we talked to the devil, we wound up in this mess called the fall. Amen. You know where you do your best? Just have your conversations with God about him. Amen? Amen. Don't talk to him. Don't give him the words. Don't entertain him. Don't get him in your thoughts. You talk to the Lord. And I want to tell you, listen, just give him the hand, right? Those kids say, just talk to the hand. Just give him the hand while you talk to God. Say, Lord, you know what he's doing. You know what he's up to. Now, for when you walk out in your day and you think, man, I got this. I've been doing it for 30 years. I've been doing it for 50 years. Isn't it amazing when we see a young couple get married? You ever watch this? Young couple gets married and, man, they think, we got this. This is going to be so easy. Man, like, we ain't about like all them crazy people always fussing and fighting and having to deal with all. We're going to be different. And we all sit back after we've been married for a while. We just said, hey, we about to watch a show. Let the fireworks begin. And we laugh because what are they? They are what? Ignorant to some realities. See, your greatest weakness is when you think you're strong. 1 Corinthians 10, if any man thinks he what? Stand, take heed lest you fall. My friend, the conies, they say, oh, we're weak. Call us weak. Think we're weak. We know you bad. You can take us. But I want to tell you, we're going to find our security in the rock. There's an underestimated strength because they got wisdom. They don't have to have ability. They just got to have wisdom. And their wisdom leads them to the rocks. Psalms 104:18. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He says they find security. They find safety. They find a place of refuge where they can get away from the predators. You know what else I found about these conies? Listen, they don't only hide in the rocks. They spend a lot of time bathing in the sun. But they sing like birds. Isn't that something when you can find such security, you're standing on the rocks looking down on all your predators and you just sing to them? I mean, is that not bold? See, boldness is not your confidence in yourself. Boldness is when you have such tremendous confidence in the source of security. The source of security for the coney is the rocks. My friend, the source of security for you and I is the rock. We used to sing in the church, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Whatever's come in my life, Lord, I want to find my security. Let me run to you. Let me find it. Listen to some of the Proverbs. You'll find that God encourages us to find our strength in him. Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety's of the Lord. Have your army all you want, but my friend, if God's not on your side, you in trouble. Proverbs 3:21, my son, let not them depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto your soul, grace unto your neck. Then you shall walk in the way of safety. Your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. That's the safety the child of God has in Christ. See, because we know sickness comes. We know we know stock markets fail. We know jobs can go down. We know all kind of things can fluctuate in life. He says, but when those things that terrorize people take hold of you, let your confidence be in God. Proverbs 1:33, but whosoever hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I love Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. My friend, it's not enough to run from your troubles. It's where you got to run to that counts in your trouble. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues. Isn't that something? You know, the Bible talks about stress and worry. You know, even logically, we know, they tell anybody, will tell, that the majority of things that we worry about never come to pass. Amen. He says, there's those that are running and nobody's even chasing them. Every time I see somebody running one of those marathons, I always wonder, who's chasing those folks? Because I promise you, something had to be chasing me, getting me to run that far. He said, there's people running. They're fleeing. The wicked is fleeing and nobody's pursuing. But the righteous, watch this, but the righteous are bold as a lion. There's the little feeble coney up on the rock cleft singing like a bird. He has no intimidation. He's feeble as anything upon the earth, yet he's singing in confidence that he finds in the rock. My friend, God gives us the privilege to have this underestimated security. There's always threats that come against God's people, even like Elijah. When Elijah stands against the prophets of Baal, that same day he's threatened by Jezebel. And here he is. He's standing against 450 prophets. One woman gets after him and he's running for his life. Boy, that could be instructive. But anyway, he goes far and he winds up in a cleft of a rock in a mountain. He's crying out and he's pitching a pity party. He's pitching a pity. You ever have a pity party, my friend? You're in good company. Elijah did it. And Elijah's pitching his pity party and God, of course, feeds him, strengthens him, and then puts him in that rock and he's sitting there waiting upon God. And God said, I'm going to pass by. I'm going to pass by, Elijah. And so the Bible says there was a strong wind that came that rent the rocks. The Bible says, but God wasn't in the wind. Then an earthquake took place that shook the mountain, said God wasn't in the earthquake. It says, then the fire came down from heaven. He says, but God wasn't in the fire. He says, then came a still, small voice. And God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? He began to set up Elijah's progression and succession to move forward. Here's my task. Go on and accomplish what I want you to do. Elijah, I'm with you. My friend, listen, that's where we find our security is not in our self-will. It's not in our determination. It's not, I'm going to get it right this time. No, my friend, our strength is when we run to Christ. We run to the rock. We hide in Him. And when you get in Him, my friend, can't nothing and nobody touch you. Listen, you realize this, when you're in the will of God, when you're walking, nothing can come across your path lest God stamps His approval on it. And if it's of Him, and it's by Him, it must be for Him. Amen. As well as for me. You know, we used to always play those games when you grow up and you ain't got all the money a lot of folks have. We didn't grow up with all the fancy games and stuff like that. You know, you just got to play the simple stuff like kick the can and hide and seek and all that. You know, hide and seek's a pretty fascinating game, really. You know why? It says it in the you say, how do you play hide and seek? Well, it's in the name. You hide and somebody seeks. Amen. Pretty simple plan. You ain't got to read no instructions. But it's amazing. Listen, I mean, you're literally hiding and somebody's hunting you. If you can spot that base and you begin to evaluate, I can just get to base, I'll be safe. And so you take off running. They spot you. They're after you. But my friend, once you put your feet on base, once you put your feet on home, wherever that is, when you're there and you're touching home or you're standing on home and you're standing, then you can sit there and say, I'm safe. You can't touch me. You can't get me. You better go hunt you somebody else. Because I'm on base. I'm safe. And my friend, listen, that's what God gives the privilege of His children. That's why He uses such imagery of Himself when He says, I'm a rock. Rock is immovable. I'm always going to be the same. You can always count on me. You don't have to be strong in yourself. You don't have to be unable. People are always looking for strength to get over this addiction or that addiction or put this away. No, my friend, forget about your strength. Run to the rock. Come to the name of the Lord. He'll be a strong tower. You'll find refuge and security that the foolish will never find. Verse number 27. He says, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. It's a wonderful truth. Here He teaches us something about the wise converted people in our underestimated sovereign. He said, look at the locust. Of course, they hated the locust. The locust would devour their crops. But He said, learn something from the locust. As you watch them, He says, they don't have a king. Yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. There's no chief locust out there saying, okay, here, you guys go over here, you guys eat over here, y'all destroy over there. He says, there's no ruler. There's no king, there's no hierarchy. Yet He says, those locusts, they band together in these groups and they go together. They go together. He says, it's an amazing thing to watch that they have no leader and yet they are led. They have no director and yet they have direction. Why? Inherent wisdom. He says, it's amazing to wise to watch them to go in the order. They have no visible ruler, but everything that they're doing is on purpose. Everything they're doing has some intentionality to it. You see, that's where you find an underestimated sovereign in the Christian's life, because sometimes the Christian life, when you live in it, doesn't make sense. People look at you and say, well, who are you following and who's your leader? And it's amazing how many people will choose to be their leaders. People might choose a politician to be their leader, or people may choose a ball player to be their leader, or they choose this, an educator. And sometimes people even look to Hollywood and find their leadership. Don't look to Hollywood to find your leadership. They dumb as don't turn to Hollywood. People are looking for leadership. Sometimes people look at them own selves and they want to be king, lord of their life. They want to be their own shepherd. Listen, when you live enough years, you have to come face some realities. If you've been ruling and leading and guiding your own life and it's a mess, why don't you change management? Why don't you get out of that business? Well, my friend, why don't you just do what God wants you to do? As we sang a while ago, He bids us to come and die so we may live. That means forsake yourself, forsake your authority, come in the lordship of Christ. Let me rule you. That's salvation, my friend. Salvation is when an individual comes to the end of themselves and they say, listen, I've been doing this thing on my own. It's terrible, God. And I heard in your word, you said that if I tried to do it on my own, it'd be a mess. And so, Lord, I've experienced, I know what a mess my life is without you. Lord, I want to bring my life under your authority. I want you to rule. And then when you see God's people, there's something strange about God's people. A converted people, strange bunch. You don't realize it. How does the church mobilize? See, they've been trying to stamp out the church for 2,000 years. How does it keep growing? It's growing faster in parts of the world where they're killing and cutting the heads of Christians off. The fastest growing church is in Iran. How's that happen? Because, my friend, we got a leader. You don't see him. He's leading, though. He's orchestrating what he calls his church. And he's doing what he calls building it. He's building his church, and all the gates of hell will never prevail against the work of God. My friend, he's doing a work in this world. He's doing it through his church, and we have a sovereign. He's leading, and he's guiding. He's blowing. Yesterday I was praying before God. God, you said the wind blows where it wants to. Lord, blow our way. I plead, blow our way. Revive our hearts. Renew a hunger and an unction of God among your people. We have this mysterious sovereign. He's described in other Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3. Remember what we're taught in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Y'all remember those old verses you remember from a young Christian? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your path. See, there's a mystery. You say, you're following this, you're following that. These locusts are going around, no director, but yet they seem sovereignly led into bands and groups, being led by instinct. And God says, my people, Jesus says, my people, they hear my voice. Amen. And they follow me. There's a sovereign that rules over the church. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. It's kind of what we were talking about in our memory verses this month, right? Don't make all your plans, because remember, God is the one who's running the show. We need to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. And so the locust, you know, when you read through the Word of God, you see God orchestrating. When you read the Bible as a whole, you don't just see a bunch of writings, you see God orchestrating history. In fact, one of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of Esther, never names the name of God, the book of Esther. The one book in the Bible that never names the name of God in it. But you know what the book of Esther is all about? God's sovereign work among His people. Raising up a preserver through Queen Esther to preserve the desolation and destruction of His people. God is always at work. God is always doing things, and we don't always know what's happening. God works so sovereign in our life. It's kind of like, y'all remember Karate Kid, the old movie, and the wax on, wax off? Wax on, wax off until exhaustion. Why am I waxing? I'm waxing off until he finally realizes through his sensei that you've been learning, you didn't even know you were learning. I've been building, you didn't even know I was building you. I was preparing you, and you didn't even know I was preparing you. Kids go in school, and they say, why do I got to learn all this useless bunch of information? I'll never use this. You get out in the world, you realize, boy, I needed some of that. Amen. God is at work in our life, and sometimes we don't always recognize it. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. His workmanship. You know where that word workmanship comes from? It comes from the word where we get our word poem. God's writing a poem with our life. Nothing more beautiful, nothing more systematic, nothing more in sync than a well-written poem. It all goes together. It has structure. It has rhythm. Yet sometimes in the midst of a poem, you don't know where's the climax, where's the turn, what's the emphasis, and God is writing our story, and He's writing. In the end, it's going to be a poem. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to see the system of it. You're going to see the harmony of it. Yet sometimes in the day-to-day grunts of life, we don't realize God, what He's doing. But listen, that doesn't matter. Don't underestimate the person of God who says, listen, today, a business owner's got to go know everything about business politics. They got to know everything about every issue as they pretend to do. And every Christian, I'm telling even pastors today, we want to pass off something to add the other day. We want a pastor to come in and give us this kind of vision, that kind of vision. And I'm thinking, my gracious, why don't people just want a preacher to come in and preach the Bible? Amen. That's what God called a man of God to do, to love people, lead people, and preach the Word of God. We want everything. We want you to have everything figured out. And I want you to say, the more you try to attempt to have every little intricate detail of your life figured out, my friend, you're setting yourself up for some discouragement and disappointment. Why? Because as we quoted this morning, God is sovereign. And He's running. And He's doing things that it may not feel good. It may not even seem right. And you say, Lord, where's the harmony in this? Where's the order in this? But wait till He's done. Wait till He's done, because when the finished product is done, we're going to say, God, You are incredible. You are the sovereign leader of our life. Thank God my life is not in my own hands, but in the hands of a God who takes something that seems like a proverb with some mystery, but Lord, eventually You make sense of it. Let me give you a final truth. Not only does God give us, through people of wisdom, an underestimated supply, as God supplies for us, or through the security that we find in, like the conies in the rock, or the sovereign leader that rules our life and leads us about by His Spirit and by His Word and will. But He says in verse number 28, the spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Such a simple verse that teaches us something profoundly about our own life. An underestimated serenity. It's one, he says, it's not spiders, it's spider. It's the one out of all the animals that he points to in a singular way. You see the ants, plural, the conies, plural, the locusts, plural. But when you get to the spider, it's just the spider by himself. Solitary. Singular. By the way, there's something instructive to that. Because as the converted man lives his life, as the converted woman of wisdom learns their life, here's one thing you'll learn right off the bat. Watch this. The majority of the Christian life is lived in isolation. The most productive part of the Christian life, it's lived in isolation. It's not lived in what you do in public. It's lived in what you do in private. Because who you are in public should only be an extension of who you are when you're alone with God. Listen, there's a lot of times you want people around. There's been many times in my Christian life I would have loved to have had a teacher like this or a mentor and so forth. And I'm going to tell you what, God has robbed me from many of those things through my life so that I would only seek Him. I would only trust Him. And I would know this, I can always rely on Him. He speaks of this spider and he teaches us something about this incredible underestimated serenity. See, here's what the world doesn't understand. They have no refuge. They have no place to find the kind of serenity that the spider does, the illustration. He says the spiders, they're despised by people. People spray and do everything. Listen, I pay somebody every month to keep my house sprayed for bugs. And you can walk around today, I'm sorry to say, and you can see spider webs up in the corners at the top of my walls. You got any in your house? How them rascals get in there? How is it? You can spray, you can deal, you can despise, you can squash, you can do whatever, and somehow, them spiders alone, they don't have to stay outside. They don't have to live in the grubs. They don't have to live in the scum of the world. No, my friend, he says they find shelter in palaces. They find serenity. You may say, well, you're all alone. He says, yeah, I'm all alone in the king's house. Y'all pity me all you want that I'm alone. Look down upon me. Talk about me when you're over dinner. Poor old so-and-so. Poor old so-and-so. And the spider said, yeah, ain't nothing poor here. I'm living in the palace. See, he teaches us something about our underestimated serenity. Here we are many times alone, but sometimes, listen, being alone brings the most serene times. It's when the noise is gone. You know why sometimes people can never enjoy the wisdom of God that brings serenity? Because some people are afraid of quiet. Some people are afraid of quiet. So some people always got to have noise in their life. They always have to go from a... I know people who sleep with their television on, wake up with the radio on, all through the day it's noise, 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 and they never find peace and serenity and a calmness about their life and some confidence because it's all noise. I love how Jesus tells us. He says, if you'll go into your closet and you'll close the door, there's not too many people outside my wife going to get me in a room where you shut off everything else and you're just together. See, my wife requires that. I want a good marriage. I want a good, happy wife, right? Happy wife, happy life. So you know what I got to do? I got to make sure I withdraw from y'all and from all the noise. Even from the kids whom I love more than life. There's got to be time where just me and mama together. We build our intimacy. We build our relationship together. Think about it. Here's the Lord God Almighty saying, that's what I want. Amen. I'm going to use you in the world. I got plenty for you to do. We're going to be busy. We're going to be movers. We're going to be shakers. We're going to be doing. Before you go doing that, why don't you come in the closet?
Amen.
Shut the door. And let's just be me and you.
Amen.
My friend, there's a whole lot of things that have been laid in weights of responsibility in my life. I'm telling you what, I'm honest with you, church. Sometimes it has seemed crushing. Wondering. Sometimes, Lord, how do I breathe? How do I get through this day? How do I get through this night? How do I get through this new episode? Lord, how do I get through? And sometimes it seems to be going through all come from every angle and it's pouring in life. But to God's people, don't underestimate the child of God. Because we got stuff pills can't help.
Amen.
We got some stuff better than booze.
Amen.
We got stuff better than drugs.
Amen.
We got stuff better than going and sitting somebody on a couch and paying some guy all his money, let you tell him about it. We got something better. We have what the Bible calls a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. That's what we have. We're crawling around alone. Poor, pitiful Christians. Don't pity me. I get to climb up into my Father's palace. I get to come up before His very throne. I get to speak into His very ear and know He hears me.
Amen.
There is something about wisdom. See, without it, God's far off. With wisdom, God pulls us near and says, now let's me and you talk. Let's me and you spend time. Enjoy the serenity we have in God. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs, the simplest of food where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 3:17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths of peace. She is a tree to life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. You know who the her is in those Proverbs? Wisdom. When you get wisdom, my friend, it'll hold you, it'll keep you. It'll keep your mind from going crazy. It'll keep you from doubts and fears and frantic. It will keep your mind focused that God has called us in this world. He has given us instruction. He has given us truth. He has given us blessing. And let folks despise us. Let folks pity us because we ain't part of the gathering group at work or the most popular crowd at school. My friend, listen, when I became a Christian, I fell out of that world. I mean, I was just going to school just to see how often I could speak up for Jesus and make Him known. But them weren't, as Corey, I'll never forget when Corey graduated high school and everybody's throwing up their hats, Corey's already heading for the door. They're all celebrating, Corey's running. And I said, what's wrong? He said, them ain't my peeps. Them ain't my people. See, my friend, God calls us to Himself. We get to know a God through wisdom. See, how would you ever know? The Bible says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? That there's truth and there's life and there's blessing and there's better. And you don't have to stay in the desperation of ignorance. You can come to know the freedom and the enjoyments and even the adventure of life through the facts and the truths of God's Word. Let's bow for prayer today.